Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, December 14th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly Lunch and Learn. And this week, we are going to study Parshat Vayishlach. Hello, Shula.
Hi.
And so here's the handouts for everybody.
Thank you.
And today we're going to discuss the aftermath of the actual incident and the aftermath of when Shimon and Levi went to avenge the rape of Dinah. Okay, so let's just quickly look at the story so that we're familiar with it. And so we're going to turn to chapter 34 in Bereshit.
Page?
Okay, I'll tell you the page in 1 second.
72, 71.
Okay, yeah, page 70, right? Vatetze Dina bat Lea asher yalda li Yaakov lerot bivnot haaretz. Dina went out to visit the daughters of the land, and Shechem, the son of Hamor, saw her. And it says, "Vayishkav ota vayaneha," took her and lay with her by force. And then, obviously, this greatly disturbed Yaakov's family. And they want first. First, we know that Shechem wanted to marry her, right? Get me this girl as a wife, he says in verse 4. Kach li et hayalda hazot li isha. Then Yaakov heard about this, and he didn't say anything. Shechem's father came to Yaakov to try to make a deal. Yaakov's sons hear about this, and they are very upset, it says, right? They were distressed and very angry because he had committed this outrage in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing not to be done. And so Hamor says, my son loves your daughter. Why don't we let them get married and you'll live with us and everything's going to be just fantastic. So Yaakov's sons say...
Excuse me, why do they introduce it as intermarry? Is there a problem with that? The word they use, not marry, but intermarry.
V'hit chatnu otanu benotechem titnu lanu v'et benotenu tikhu lachem. Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, first, it could mean intermarry in the sense that this is a unique tribe, right? Yaakov's group, and maybe they realized that they were not accustomed to doing this. But it also just mean marry, right? Okay. Do this for me, and I'll pay you. And so Yaakov's sons answered him in verse 13, and his father, speaking with guile because he had defiled the sister Dinah, and said to them, we cannot do this to give our sister to a man who is uncircumcised. That is a disgrace among us. So they convince them to get circumcised. They do that. And then he goes back, he convinces his people. And then on the next page, page 72, verse 25, Ibayom ha-shlishi b'yotem ko'avim, Vayikru shnei bnei Yaakov shmom levi achei dina ish charbo vayavo et ha'ir betach vayahargu kol zachar. On that third day when everyone was recuperating from the circumcision, from right Yaakov's sons, Shimon and Levi, they go to the city and they kill all the men. Okay? That's the end of the story. So today what I want to look at is... First of all, I want to look at Yaakov's reaction to this act, and how the Torah, first of all, and secondly, how the Torah talks about it and how the Torah categorizes it.
I think the brothers were more angry than the father.
Well, it certainly seems that way. They certainly acted in a way that they were more angry than the father. That's for certain. So let's jump ahead. We're going to look at two things. Look at the Ralbag and learn a really interesting lesson from his commentary. And then we're going to do the Nitziv that we've been spending time on the Netziv lately.
Yeah, I like him.
We'll come back to him in a few minutes. But let's turn to the end of the book of Bereshit, chapter 49, verse 5. This is on page 106. Yeah, 107. Excuse me.
106?
Yeah, 106. At the end of Yaakov's life, right, he gives brachot or prophecy about the future of each of the tribes, each of the brothers. Oh. So on the top of page 107, he addresses Shimon and Levi. He says, Shimon v'Levi achim, kilei chamas mecherotehem. Shimon and Levi are a pair, or brothers. Their weapons are tools of lawlessness. Bisodam al tavo nafshi, let not my person be included in their counsel. Bikahalam al techad kivodi, let not my being be counted in their assembly. Ki ba'apam hargu ish, for when angry they slay men. Uvertzonam ikru shor, and when they pleased they mane oxen. So obviously Yaakov is unhappy with what they did.
Militant.
And not only that, right, what we could see about this is, especially if you look at the beginning, he talks about Reuven, and he disqualifies Reuven from the leader because of a moral failing of his. And then he disqualifies Shimon and Levi from being a leader because of their failing. This in order to get to Yehuda, and to say, Yehuda, you're going to be the one who's going to lead the Jewish people, right? The kings are going to come from you, okay? So he disqualifies Shimon and Levi because of their impetuousness, right? But what I want to just point out is a really interesting comment that the Ralbag says on this verse, Klei Hamas Mecherotehem. On that verse, by the way, the commentaries, well, the modern commentaries who try to understand what this word means are at a loss to really clarify what these words mean. So, for example, in the Jewish Publication Society translation of the Chumash, when it comes to the word mecherotehem, mm-hmm. right, where it says their weapons are tools of lawlessness, any translation of this unique word is guesswork, right? Mecherotehem is hard to understand what it means. Okay.
It's from the shorish of machar to sell.
Okay, so klei chamas mecherotehem, weapons are your what?
Your belongings.
Your belongings. So it could be, but here the Ralbag, and by the way, so mecherotehem is understood by Rashi and many of the other Rishonim to mean klei zayin. Mecherotehem are weapons, okay? Now, that's the Midrash, and that's Rashi. The Ralbag has a very, very different explanation. It's really fascinating. Go to page 1 of the source sheet. And I forgot to block it off, but I'll point to it here. The word Mecherotehem appears twice in that second paragraph, the second time.
In bold.
Anyone having trouble finding it?
Yeah.
Shula, you have it?
Oh, there we go.
So this is what he says. Mecherotehem, kimo migerotehem. He switches out the chaf for a gimel. Okay. Why does he do that? Okay. Bechiluf chaf begimel. We're going to switch out the chaf for the gimel. We're going to change the word. Kihem mimutza echad. These letters all come from the same place. What does that mean? They are guttural sounds. If you look at footnote number 9 below, shtehen meotiot tachich. They are guttural sounds. So they're interchangeable. Kihem mimutza echad. Vaotiot shehe mimutza echad. Yomru k'tzatam b'k'tzat b'lshonenu, and words that come from a similar source, they could be interchanged a little bit in our language. V'zenim tza harbe, he says this happens a lot. V'chazet tim tza shemichorotayich heim migorotayich. Lefi mash yeskimu hamefarshim. He gives us a good example of this from Yechezkel. So what does this mean? V'haratzon bazeh. What is the Torah teaching us here? She'afilu hamigerot she'enam kelim laharog ha'anashim. V'lo yitaken bahem zeh. Aval heim kelim lasot bahem melechet hanagarut. There's a tool called a migerah, right? Which is some sort of tool. If you look at the footnote, it's a kli barzel, male pigimot bahem, hu chotech ma shiachtoch. It's a metal implement that has pigimot, which it's not straight, like a saw, right? And it's used to cut things when you're building cabinets. Okay, so it's not a tool of war. It's not an implement of war. So what is Yaakov saying?
Using it for
right. What is Yaakov saying? This is so interesting. She'enam kelim laharog anashim. This is not a implement, a tool to kill people. V'lo yitaken bahem zeh. This is not why it was created. Aval heim kelim lasot behem alechet hanagarut. It's a tool which was created in order to do carpentry. Lahem heim klei chamas. But for you, it's a weapon. Ki gam bahem yitchakmu lahara la'anashim. But you also used it, right, in a way, you used the wisdom, right, in a way to do evil to people. So I think, and let's keep reading. V'hinei amar zeh lefi shehem hargu ba'arama anshei Shechem. They tricked these people into their weakened state post the Brit Milah. Befoal be'einav asher bo hayu nichnasim lebriti mahem liyot lamechad. They thought that you were making a peace treaty, and you lied. You deceived them. He says to them, meaning he has the parallel, just like a peace treaty is supposed to be used as something to create, you used it as a tool to destroy. The same thing with this tool, which is a tool which should be used to create cabinets and things like that, right? And you've used it to destroy. You've used it as a weapon. So he's really, in this case, if you accept the Ralbag, right, then Yaakov is really lacing into them, right? He is really giving it to them, saying that you are dishonest. You use something which was supposed to be used for peaceful purposes, for purposes of war. So the pasuk means Shimon Levi Achim, Shimon Levi, you are brothers. Klei Hamas migerotehem. You have used your klei Hamas, your weapon of violence. Is this migera? Is this tool that's supposed to be used for something good? So he's very, very upset with them because it really it created a situation where we know this, that they were perhaps put in danger, but all the more so, he's saying you really acted in a way which was dishonest.
Does it pay to go through all the changing of the meaning of the word just because that? I mean, what's the difference?
It's the moral lesson is the difference. The moral lesson, that's what the Ralbag is saying, is that you can't live your life this way. That's why you can't be the leader. You can't be the leader because how could it be that the leader of the Jewish people is now going to be known as someone who you can't trust? Other nations are going to make deals with us. They're going to make treaties with us. But they're all going to be meaningless.
So it's enough to say weapons. Why migerotehem?
No. Klei chamas migerotehem is different. Klei chamas just means you're violent. But not only are you violent, you're dishonest.
Oh,
and you can't be trusted. And since you can't be trusted, you can't be the leader. That's why I'm passing you over.
Honesty, yeah.
It's one thing. They're violent. Okay, but when you make a treaty with someone who's violent, presumably they keep the treaty. But here, your very essence is that you trick people, you lure them into a false sense of security, and then you do whatever you want. So you can't be the leader. It's worse than being violent.
Yaakov really was willing to accept Shechem as a son?
I think Yaakov felt he had no... He may have not wanted him to have as a son. He may have tried a way to avoid the entire thing. right? But he did not feel that Shimon and Levi's, deceit was good, because that was going to. That's why he says if you go back to the original psukim, yeah. he says now we are unsafe. Let's go back to chapter Lamed Dalet, back to page 71. What does he say after this whole event happens?
72.
Page 72, verse 30. Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon ve'Levi, achartem oti lahavisheni biyoshev haaretz b'knani b'rizi v'ani metei mispar. Here it is. V'nesvu alai v'hikuni.
What pasuk?
This is pasuk Lamed, 30. You have brought trouble unto me, making me odious among the inhabitants of the land, etc. My men are few in number, so that if they unite against me and attack me, I and my house shall be destroyed. But they answered, should our sister be treated like a whore? Right, they had an answer back to her.
Yeah.
Right, but what? So this is Yaakov was afraid of. And in some way, his fear continues for the rest of his life and says, you can't be the leader, because you actually put us in danger. Your methodologies and strategies actually put us in danger. That's why he goes to the trouble to teach us about the ability to interchange the chaf and the gimel.
But Rabbi,
don't the Levites, the Levim, aren't they having really a role in maybe not?
Yes, but they were not the political leader. Correct.
Foreign minister.
Correct. They were the religious. They worked in the Beit HaMikdash. But Yaakov passes them over as political leaders.
And takes Yehuda.
Right. And takes Yehuda.
So
exactly.
They wouldn't be political leaders.
Correct.
But they are leaders.
But they should have been. They should have been the leaders, because if you're going in order of birth, Reuven, okay, Reuven's disqualified because of something he did wrong.
Right.
Shimon. He should be next. No, you're disqualified. Levi should be next. No, you're disqualified. Now we're left with Yehuda.
And it wasn't until Har Sinai that they were given that position to switch.
Right, that's true. First it was Reuven. That's a very good point. Right. Originally, it was the Bechor who was going to be the religious leader, and then they're flipped out for Levi. So that's true. So here, at this point, Levi's left with nothing. He's rehabilitated a little bit later, but at this point, he's left with nothing.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Bring it back to a moral thing. What would you have expected the brothers to do?
Well, it seems that what Yaakov wanted to do was somehow separate and find a way to, maybe during that third day of the circumcision, they could have left, right? They could have separated. They could have gone somewhere else, or they could have negotiated their way out of it. I don't know. But Yaakov certainly was unhappy about this.
I grant you, I feel it was wrong.
Yeah.
What they did. But I'm saying, what could they have, Shimon and Levi, have done to try, what else, the other thing that they could have done?
They could have just said, no, we don't want, we're not, our sister's not marrying you.
But
have a nice day.
Their sister's been groomed.
Oh, right. And so Yaakov is saying, what choice do we have? Maybe Yaakov was willing to just cut his losses and separate.
And then their sister would have been...
I don't know.
Well,
we don't know.
There's also an interesting midrash which says earlier in the parsha that Yaakov hid Dinah from Esav.
Oh.
Right.
And that he put her in a chest when they were crossing the river.
Put her in one.
So she was a little mischievous.
He basically, she was a very attractive girl, and his brother, who was close to 100 years old, was still single. And they all married from within the same
right.
family.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know what would have been with Dinah, but this is certainly not something that And by the way, what's interesting is maybe one could argue that Yaakov's claim here, when the event happened, maybe he was overreacting. But you see, for the rest of his life, until literally the day of his death, he disapproves.
Yeah,
he never comes to terms.
He
changes his mind as to what the reason is, which is also telling, because at the end of his life, he doesn't say, you weakened us, you made it more dangerous for us, but explicitly, but that could be what he means. According to the Ralbag, if I put you in charge, you will weaken us because you can't be trusted. Right. Now, because other people are always going to remember what you did to Shechem.
Yeah.
And they're never going to trust you, and so you can't be the leader.
Yeah,
so for the rest of his life,
I agree with
he
that.
Sticks with it. Yeah.
I agree with that. But if you go back to the thing, what else could they have done? Could they took Shem and done something else?
Maybe there are lots of options. They could have just punished the kid. They could have ran away. They could have done nothing.
The problem is not Shem. It's what they did to the rest of the community.
Correct, right. That's what Yaakov does.
That's their sin.
Yes, yes.
But yes. Rabbi, they said they're very reasonable. He said that the only thing they were willing to settle it with them peacefully as long as he'll have a milah.
But that was a ruse, though. That was a trick.
Yeah.
That was a trick because we see what happens on the third day of the milah.
They
go.
We're not serious. About
no,
the
no.
They said the milah is only so they can marry. She can marry somebody who can marry her. Somebody who
now,
was circumcised.
Let's go back to the Ralbag and see the way. I'm sorry to the Netziv and see the way that the Torah depicts this story. Okay. So. Yeah. Question.
Matter?
Does what matter?
Because she's Jewish, Dina. Who cares whom she married? She's Jewish. The kids are Jewish.
Because that's the problem.
That's
not just
precedent.
Correct.
Agree.
It's
what
not
so
just
punish her for something.
No.
Wrong,
okay. One second. Hold on. We're not talking here about the question of intermarriage as we understand it now. Okay.
This is, first of all, they
were upset. They were upset that they raped her, so that they were taking revenge. And still, intermarriage is not just a function of whether the kids are going to be Jewish. It's a function of maintaining the character of, in this case, the character literally of Bnei Yisrael, right? The character of the children of Israel, Yaakov, who was Israel, right? And what was going to be the character of his family and his children's family? And they didn't, and this was not an appropriate match for her to maintain that character and to be, you know, she's not one of the Shvatim, but she is a Bat Yisrael, literally. And so this was not a proper character.
Raped them and just they were. He would have said, "Oh, I want her to be my wife." Would it be all right?
I don't know.
Yaakov did the same thing.
I don't think it would have been all right, but that's an interesting question. All right, let's go back. Let's go to the Netziv, because the Netziv picks up on something very interesting. If you look back in chapter 34 on page 72, okay? The Torah says, on the third day when they were in pain, two sons of Jacob, brothers of Dina, Shimon and Levi, took their sword. So the Netziv is, in a very, very close reading of the text, wants to know why the word Shnei is here. Right? He argues the Pasuk would have made sense without it. Right, the sons of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi. Then we would have known on our own. It was just two of them, right? So maybe, what's the Shnei?
Maybe because they were the only one out of the 12.
Yeah,
that were.
But we would know that. We would know that when it says Vayikru Bnei Yaakov Shimon. Okay.
Just them.
Okay, so maybe to emphasize it, just them. Okay, it could be.
Maybe
but,
they want to know that there were two of them that wasn't just.
But it says Shimon v'Levi. We would have known it's two because Shimon is one, Levi is the other. And
that's interesting.
Okay, so very close read. Not everyone, you know, is into such a close reading of the text, but for this purpose.
It's more than that. It has the hyphen there, if you look.
Well, that's not in the Torah. That's just in this text.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't appear.
Text.
That does not appear in the Torah.
The Torah itself, it doesn't appear.
No. That's just here in order to to make sure it's read.
Shnei
Bnei Yaakov. Yeah. Okay. So Let's go to the Netziv, page 2 of the source book that you have. On the bottom section, the left side, Shnei Bnei Yaakov, Shimon V'Levi. All the way in the bottom paragraph, left side. Okay. Bottom, left. There's a bracket. Shnei Bnei Yaakov, Shimon V'Levi. Tevat, Shnei Miutar. Okay. The word two is extra. Ubinadav V'Avihu K'tiv, V'Aykhu Bnei Aaron, V'Avihu. And here's my proof.
Yeah.
When Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, were killed, it doesn't say the two sons of Aaron. It just says the sons of Aaron.
Were they twins?
Okay.
How many sons did he have at the time?
But he only had two. Didn't Aaron have two sons?
Good question. I'm not sure. Very good question.
The sons, okay. All the sons.
Okay, here we go. Ubalalam Denu. Nonetheless, the Netziv is not convinced. Ubalalam Denu. What's the two teaching us? Da'afal gav shenit achdu bika'as gadol la'achriv ir umuloa. Even though they were united in their anger, their great anger, to destroy the entire city, v'gam hit achdu la'havi atzmam lidei sakana atzuma, and they were united in their willingness to endanger themselves, mikol makom hayu shnayim. But they were still two. I mean, they weren't fully united.
What do you mean, fully united?
They were united.
They didn't bring some more.
They were united. The two, Shimon and Levi, were completely united in their desire to destroy the city.
Right.
They were united in their willingness to put themselves in danger. But there was something else about this event that they were not united about.
And what is that?
We're going to get to it. Good question. Mikol makom hayu shnayim. Nonetheless, they were still two. Hainu. Sheshonim hayu bidat hamavir et ha'esh hazeh. They were not united. They were different as to what caused this fire to burn in them. Right? What made them, what motivated them to go after Shechem? Now, don't read on. What are the options? Don't read ahead. What are the options? Right? We have to find at least two, because what's the motivation?
Conflict between them, maybe it would be avoided.
No, but he's saying they were not motivated in their, they were not equal, they did not have the same motivation to attack. They were completely committed to the attack, and they were completely willing to put themselves in danger, but they did not share the same motivation for the attack. So what are the possible motivations of this attack?
One is protectiveness, right? They want to protect their sister.
The property.
That happened. The protector? Property. Wait a second. Yeah. Protector? She's already been raped.
Yeah, but obviously Shechem is a bad dude, right? So to save her from him, right?
To save her. Okay.
And the other is hatred, right? They're just so angry and incensed. They are misanthropes, right?
Maybe one was interested just, you know, the revenge. Because okay. The other one looked about all the material, all the things that will take away from...
Okay. Interesting. Good. You guys are very, very devious. Yes?
Maybe one was looking just for an excuse to... kill them to begin with. He thought they were bad and
he just didn't like them. This was a pretext.
And the other one was just the revenge of his sister.
Okay, let's see what the Netziv says. They were Hainu Sheshonim Hayu Bidat Hamavir et Ha'esh Hazeh. Okay, here we go. They were different, they had different motivations. Echad ba bidat enoshi hamikane lichvod beit aviv. One of them came with what you said, revenge. He wants to save the sister. Some motivation related to the actual event of the rape of Dina that led them to try in some way to defend the honor of their household. Hamevi la'esh kazeh v'hu esh zarak yadua. It's amazing. Esh zarak means an esh zarak means a foreign fire. A strange fire. What the Netziv is saying is that is not a proper motivation. Revenge is not a proper motivation. Okay? It's so interesting, right? They're willing.
Really?
Zara, right. He's willing to, they're willing to put, right, he's willing to put his life in danger. He's willing, he totally wants to destroy the city. But he's only doing it, what's revenge going to get you at the end? This goes to your question that you asked. What's revenge going to get them in the end?
Yeah.
Actually could hurt them, this is what Yaakov thought, right? It's an ace zara. This is something foreign. This is not a proper motivation. Mm-hmm. This, now I think that this is a very high standard. Right, you could make an argument that revenge is important because if you take revenge, the next group of people that they meet won't do it. Right, word spreads. But the Netziv is really judging them with a very, very high standard.
You know that expression, an eye for an eye, you get a bunch of blind people.
Okay, right. Maybe that's what the Netziv is saying. Right, it's very, very ve'echad. What's the next motivation? He doesn't say who was who, by the way. So one of them was for revenge. Ve'achad, ba'bidat kinat Hashem, b'li shum piniya v'ratzon, right? Meaning, this goes back to your question about who cares if it's intermarriage. This is the point. These are God's people. This is a chilul Hashem, right? This is a desecration of God's name, and I'm going to avenge God, right? I'm going to bring back the honor and the glory of God. Right, this has nothing to do with Yaakov or even with Dina, as insensitive as that sounds. This is about God.
Jealousy.
Right. This is about jealousy to God. Ba bidat kinat Hashem belishum pniyav ratzon he esh shalhevet. Turn the page to page 3. Shalhevet ya. That is the fire of the flame of God.
Okay.
So now, why is a shnei? Why is a shnei bnei Yaakov? So at least we should know that only one of them went with this inappropriate motivation. One of them went purely for religious purposes. Now, this is very interesting, right? Because this raises a whole moral question, right? This raises a whole moral question of goodness, meaning the Netziv is not saying that the outcome was bad. The outcome of the one who went with a negative motivation was the same outcome as the one who went with the proper motivation. But when you go with an improper motivation, on some level, it disqualifies the entire act, even if the act is good. Meaning, let's just take a classic example that we all think about, right? I'm giving $1 million and you're giving $1 million. I'm giving $1 million because I want people to have money. And you're giving $1 million because you want your name up in lights.
You want the donation.
In the end of the day, we both gave $1 million. At the end of the day, the money, right? So this is a very high standard that the Netziv is saying. He may be arguing that when your motivation is wrong, then in some way it disqualifies, as we say in the yeshiva, it passels, right, the entire activity, right? Not everyone would agree with that. Because at the end of the day, I want the poor person to have the money, whether or not I'm getting the glory. We want the poor person to have the money. But it's a very, very high standard.
So who is who?
We don't know.
Oh, you know, because the Levi.
Maybe.
We said that before.
Could be. Yeah. Okay, umikom makom.
We discussed that before.
Me'esh kazed, nonetheless. Now listen to this. Now let's finish the Netziv. Umikom makom me'esh kazed, gam kein yesh li zaher harbe. L'chavein hamakom hazman ubelose he mikalkel tarbe. And even now the Netziv is even saying something else. Even if you have proper motivation, your action could be wrong. It may look right, right? To everyone on the outside, it may look right, but it may do harm. This is what Yaakov was saying, right? So now, I think the Netziv is saying two things. One is an improper motivation, even if the act is good, on some level could disqualify the act. And even a proper motivation, right, if you're not really careful, could ruin the entire thing. Where Yaakov says it twice. He says it here when in verse 30, he says, we're weakened. What if someone else comes? What if they come back and attack us now because of what you did? And at the end of his life, he says, you can't be trusted. Right, when he's giving them the brachot at the end of Sefer Bereshit.
Oh, in the brachot.
Right? So twice Yaakov says to Shimon and Levi, right, that they did not act properly. So this is really a very, 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 very strong Ralbag, Nitziv, and it may be echoing something in the Midrash. Turn to page 5. This word that the Nitziv uses, Mikalkelet, reminded me of a Midrash. Okay? There's a Midrash in the beginning of Bereshit when Avraham is told to go sacrifice his son, Akedat Yitzchak. And the Torah says, end of the Nitziv, he says, "Ubeloze hi mikalkel tarbeiv." If you're not careful, even with a proper motivation, right, it could be ruinous. Okay, so now this midrash is talking about when Avraham went to go sacrifice Yitzchak. Right, let's look at the midrash. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, top of page 5. Everyone see it?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote in Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, "Ahava mikalkel tashura." V'sin'ah mikalkel tashura. Love and hate can upset the norm. What should be? How do we see this? Ahava mikalkel tashura dichtiv yashkem Avraham baboker. Love makes people do things which are out of the ordinary. After all, we read Yaakov got up early in the morning, and the rest of the pasuk is that he himself saddled his animals. And the Midrash says, "V'lo haya lo kama abadim." Didn't he have servants to do this? Ela ahava mikalkel tashura. He was so eager, because he was so in love with God, he was so eager to do this, that he himself did it. Even though even though the routine would have been, he would have gotten his servant to do it, but here, right, that's a very nice thing to think about. And now, what else is true though? V'sina mikalkel tashura. Hatred could also upset the norm. Shenemar v'yakam Bilam baboker v'yachavosh et atono. When Bilam was going to curse Bnei Yisrael, right? He prepared his own donkey also. V'lo haya lo kama avadim. Didn't he have a servant? Ela sina mikalkel tashura. Right? When you hate, you do things... Right, you do things that in a million years you wouldn't have thought you would do. Right? Maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe that's why the Nitziv uses the word mikalkelet. Right? Another example. Ahava mikalkelet hashura shenemar v'yasor Yosef merkavto v'yal lekrat Yisrael aviv. When after Yosef reveals himself to his brothers and Yaakov's coming down, Yosef also harnesses and saddles his own chariot to go up to meet his father. V'chilo hayal Yosef kama avadim. Yosef also had plenty of servants to do this for him. And finally, ela avam kol hashura. And finally, sinam kol hashura. D'chtiv v'yasor et rechbo. When Paro was going to chase Bnei Yisrael when they were leaving, he harnessed his own chariot as well. We know he had slaves. Ela sinam kol hashura. And so now we see also a little bit, it would have been interesting for the Midrash to understand why the Midrash didn't put this example in there too, right? But we see that hatred makes us do things which are out of the ordinary. And in this case, hatred made Shimon and Levi do something which Yaakov thought was a terrible idea. And if it was hatred that motivated them, we see that the Nitziv says that is an improper motivation, right? Nikama is an improper motivation. Now, just to put the icing on the cake, let's turn to page 3. I'm sorry, page 4.
Did he like that they went to like honor their sister? Did he like that?
Doesn't seem. Well, he didn't see that as honoring his sister. He saw it as putting themselves all in more danger. Yeah. Okay, let's look on page 4. That's true, too.
One person that raped her.
At the end, if you want to see the pasuk, at the end of the book of Bereshit, on page 107, right, the Nitziv does another careful reading of the of another very close reading, right? Top of page 107. Shimon v'Levi achim. Shimon and Levi are brothers. No, I know that already.
But he didn't say brothers. He said they're a pair.
Achim means brothers.
But
achim means brothers, right? It says Shimon v'Levi achim. You are brothers. I know that already. What do I need to?
But the next line.
It should have said Shimon v'Levi klei chamas mecherotehem. Again, the achim. He says the achim is too is miyutar. Remember, he said the shnei b'nei Yaakov is miyutar. Here we go. Page 4. On the left on the right column where the bracket is.
Yeah.
Everyone see that? Shimon v'Levi achim. Hadavar muvan shelo.
Here.
Oh, it's cut off a little bit. Hadavar muvan. Shelo tsarich Yaakov lagid ki hema achim leita bibeten. Right? Yaakov didn't have to repeat here that they were brothers from birth. What's going on? I'm going to read it to you from a separate text because it got cut off there. Right? Shelo kiven Yaakov lagid ki hema achim mila ela hodia shetivam shave yoter mehishtavut kol bnei Yaakov. Their nature was more similar to each other than any of the other brothers. Pirash klei chamas mecherotehem shelo nachshov shenishtavu Shimon v'Levi b'chol davar. However, they are not the same entirely. Lokein ela bazen nishtavu shekli chamas mecherotehem. Remember, we said what do they share? They share the use of violence, even though their motivation is different. Their motivation and goals are different, but their means to achieve their goals are the same, and that's what Yaakov doesn't like, right? Klei chamas mecherotehem, hainu kinyanam. Again, kinyanam, like you said, Shula. It's their essence, right? Something I own belongs to me. It's who I am. It almost defines me. B'meshem motziim machshivotehem v'rotzam lefoel hu b'lchi chamas. How do they achieve their goals? Not through negotiation, not through persuasion, but through violence. Amnam lo amar shenishtavu b'machshivotehem v'rotzonam. They're not completely the same. V'adai lo nishtavu. We know that that's not the case. And then he quotes himself. As I said back, remember the perush that we learned on this week's parsha, that we know that they did not have, at least the Netziv says, we know that they did not have the same motivation. It's they had a different motivation. And finally he gets to the last piece of his rebuke of them. If you look on the top of page, the top of the left column of page 4, where it says Vav Bisodam, same page, but move over to the left column. In the Pasuk, that's in Pasuk Vav. Right, exactly. Bishash umdim Bisod Hashem, Likaneat Kivodo. When you are trying to honor Hashem, but with violence, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Even though you have a good motive, I don't want anything to do with that. Ukidita be Tanit, then he quotes the Gemara in Tanit to make his point. The Gemara says, Hai tsurba me rabbanan diratach oraitahu dika miratchale. Torah scholars who grow angry, it can be presumed that it is the Torah study that angers them. But nonetheless, meaning you may have a good motivation for being angry, right? Kavod Hashem, Kavod Torah, that may be right. But what's the end of the Gemara? The Gemara says, Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Afilu hachi, even so, one is required to teach himself to act gently. And remove anger from your heart. Remember what anger does? So you may have all the great motivations in the world of Kavod Hashem, Kavod HaTorah. If the way you're going to achieve it is through violence, leave me out. Right? This is also a Mamir of the Midrash. When you're angry, you do strange things. Sinah mikalkel tashura. Yoter me hanidrash l'torach inyan. You do more than is needed. By the way, this may also answer your question. Maybe they only needed to take. They only needed to kill Shechem, Hamor, right? But not the whole city, right? You went so overboard. Yaakov is saying, "Ubazei yekil kulo yoter mitukuno," and from this, ultimately, more bad is going to come than good. Which again explains why I'm passing you over.
Yeah.
You can't be the leader. You can't control yourself. You don't know. You don't know how to use. Even if violence is sometimes necessary, you don't know how to use it in measure. You don't know how to use it properly, right? So that's what's going on here. By the way, this does connect back to the Ralbag with this whole guttural sound thing, meaning there's a time, right, where a peace treaty is a peace treaty, and if you don't know that a peace treaty is a peace treaty and not a tool to trick someone, you know, you can't be in charge. So that's Yaakov's reaction and the explanation of why we have these two extra words according to the Ralbag. Shnei, because they were really separate, but even though one of them had a proper motivation, the way he went about it disqualified him, even though he had a proper motivation. And Achim, they were brothers in terms of their means, right? Even though their goals were different, their means were the same, and because their means were the same, they were both disqualified to be the future leaders and severely rebuked by Yaakov.
So if they share the same motivation, would it be still okay?
No.
Result.
Meaning, I think it's worse. I think he's saying the worst one is the bad motivation. You have a bad motivation. It's not even a motivation for Kavod HaTorah. That's terrible. That's really bad. But even if you have a proper motivation, you're halfway there. But if the other half
is not
proper, then the whole thing is out.
Yeah, but if it was the same.
So he's saying, even if they both had the proper motivation, if the way they achieve their goal is through violence, then they're, I don't want anything to do with that.
It's also the end.
By the way, let's look at the end. Just one more point. At the end of the Nitziv, he says, Uvikahalam,
page 4,
after the bracket.
Oh, after the bracket.
Uvikahalam, Bishash Nikalim al Dvar Harashut, Likane al Kavod, Vizet Isur Gamur Lihikanes Bisakana Bishfil Zeh. When you're just getting together for revenge, when you're not even allowed to put yourself at risk, Al Tichet Kavodi, then that's even a more severe distancing that Yaakov is saying. Meaning, if it's for Kavod Hashem, all right, I could think about it. As long as you go about it the right way. But if it's just for Kinah, even if you go about it the right way, I'm out.
So he's mochel on Kvodom.
He's mochel on Kavod Hashem. Very interesting.
No,
if it's
gonna Yaakov mochel on Kvodom.
Right, because it's going to be done improperly. Yes.
But,
right.
No rioting.
Okay, everyone. Have a wonderful day.